Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando. I'm the man that brings you the best nonsensical podcast on the planet. And of course, it's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. How are you all doing out there? Oh man, I'm excited for this episode. I'm calling it the Royal Rumble Review. So hint, hint, wink, wink, we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble. It happened about, by the time that you listen to this, probably about 2 or 3 days ago. But my good friend, my partner in crime in OCW, Adam Michaels, is coming on to talk about the Royal Rumble. We're going to give our thoughts about it, our opinions about it. Maybe even theorize where some of the storylines might be going because, well, the Royal Rumble kicks off the road to WrestleMania, folks. That's right. What, 70-some-odd days till we get to Mania? So, obviously, you know, we have some ideas, we have some theories, we have some hypothesis. Hypothesis? Or hypotheses? I think it's hypotheses. I'm not sure. We have some guesses. There we go. We have some guesses as to what some of the storylines might be coming up here in the next few weeks in the WWE. We're also going to talk a little bit about New Ohio Wrestling, their big event, Battle for the Band. NOW2, as they're also calling it, just happened this past weekend. Adam and I had stopped out to check out the action, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And we'll actually even talk a little bit about some upcoming OCW shows as well that we'll be a part of. So there's a lot of wrestling on this episode. So sit back, buckle your seatbelt, get ready to hear all about the great industry of professional wrestling. And, you know, when you're talking about industry, let me tell you about one industry you should be checking out. And that is, of course, Bluehost. What is Bluehost? As if you don't know, I'm going to remind you real quick. Bluehost is the official web hosting service for the PVD Cast. Bluehost offers great customer service and competitive pricing. And let me tell you right now, they've slashed prices again. So if you need a website for whatever reason, whether it's business, whether it's personal, whatever the reason is, stop on over to Bluehost.com to get all the information so you can get hooked up with a pretty awesome web hosting service. So, with that being said, I'm not going to dilly-dally. I'm not going to waste any time. I'm not going to delay this any more than I have to. I'm going to throw it to a quick commercial break. And on the other side of the break, it's the Royal Rumble Review with my good friend, Mr. Adam Michaels. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast. On the line with me via Skype is my good friend Adam Michaels. Adam, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing well, John. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem. Sure. I think we're having a little bit of some technical difficulties here, but hopefully they'll straighten out. So I apologize in advance to the listeners. But let's talk about the Royal Rumble, man. You and I both watched it this past weekend, and obviously, you know, we have some strong opinions about it. So, overall, what'd you think of the pay-per-view in itself?
You know, overall, I thought it was pretty good. I think top to bottom, it was one of the better shows that they've had in, let's say, the last, you know, 6 to 12 months. I think it was really important that they got started in 2016. With a really good show, and like I said, I think from my money, I was very pleased with just about everything on the show.
Yeah, I thought it was really good too. I think it was one of the best pay-per-views I've seen in the last like 3 or 4 months from them. I thought it was really good. And I think I agree with you. It's an important pay-per-view because it's the kickoff to the road to WrestleMania, and you know it's a great way to build momentum.
Yeah, and despite the predictable ending, I still think that the Rumble match itself delivered. I don't think there were any boring or dull moments that made you want to just kind of hope it would get over quicker. What I thought it lacked a little bit were the, if you want to call it surprises, that you kind of see every year. I mean, mm-hmm. out of the 30 competitors, usually you see 3 to 5 that you were like, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd see them in the Rumble. And we got maybe one of those. If you want to count Triple H's 2. But that was about it.
Yeah, I think that was my only gripe too, because I felt that for the Rumble match itself, I felt that there were some people that were missing that honestly, logically would make more sense to have them in there. I think my biggest gripe, and I texted you about it, was that you had Owens and Ambrose in it, who 90 minutes beforehand damn near killed each other. And I just don't buy, like, the believability of that. Why did those two guys have to be in there?
Right, and if you remember, like, when Owens comes down, he came down, like, you know, pretty much
one leg, yeah.
Miraculously, in about, you know, 30 seconds, he run on the ropes and doing everything he needed to do just fine.
Right, so I just thought...
But I didn't understand that. I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, I just I felt like why not substitute those two guys out, and even Del Rio for that matter, because he had just wrestled 20 minutes beforehand. Why not substitute those guys out for, you know, here's an idea, the NXT champion Finn Balor?
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't see more NXT guys. I thought they would, I mean, at least try some FaceTime, some exposure, just the crowd would react to them on the main roster. But, you know, like you said, especially Finn Balor, no, we didn't see any of them. I mean, pretty much AJ Styles was the only one, and he came in relatively early. He was, I want to say, number three.
I think he was number three, yeah. It took, like, his good old damn time getting to the ring, by the way. I thought that was kind of humorous.
Sure. Yeah, he's going
to... So
he's going to soak it up, you know.
Of course. All right, but, you know, starting off, I know... Did you watch the pre-show? I don't know if you did.
No, I did not get to see it. I mean, I saw the end result, and I believe they replayed the finish during the actual event itself, but no, I did not really watch the though.
All right, so they had the tag team match where the two winners would go on to the Royal Rumble, which I thought was a neat idea, but it was just confusing because to me I thought, why do you have the Ascension and the Dudleys when you have this other mixed match team? Why weren't all four mixed matched? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I turned it on very late, so I saw, I would say literally the last 30 seconds, and I was kind of trying to figure out why in the hell Damian Sandow was in there with Aaron Young. I thought maybe Titus O'Neil was hurt or something. Obviously, I didn't see the beginning, so I didn't know if there was an announcement. But, that seemed like a very odd team. And then it was Goldust and who? I don't even remember.
No, it was Swagger Mark Henry.
It was Mark Henry.
Yeah. Which,
that's right, who ended up winning, excuse me.
Yeah, and it was a bizarre, like, mix. Like, it would have made more sense if it was, like, say, Devon Dudley and Samoa Joe. Or, you know what I mean? Connor from the Ascension and another random partner. I think that would have made it more interesting on that. But nonetheless, so that was the opening match, which actually wasn't a bad match, actually. It was actually entertaining. It wasn't bad at all. And then we kicked things off with Ambrose and Owens absolutely destroying each other in what was a very good last man standing match. And, you know that stipulation what you're going to get. You're going to get guys beating the ever-loving hell out of each other, which is exactly what those two guys did.
And like you said, I mean, that's the whole point of the match, is to make sure your opponent doesn't get up for a 10 count. But yet, like you said, in 2.5 hours, they're in the Royal Rumble, which I think totally takes away from the end result of that match.
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well. I thought that was kind of, again, a little bit of poor decision-making there on behalf of whoever's making the decisions on that to put those guys out there. But ultimately, though, it was a good match. I mean, it definitely kept my interest, and I was, interested to see what they did. They kept the belt on Ambrose, so obviously they must have some faith in him. Somebody must recognize that the fans really do dig Dean Ambrose.
Well, yeah, considering he was one of the final four, I think, in the Royal Rumble, which I guess we'll get to in a little bit. But also, you know, it was announced that he's going to be in the main event for Fastlane. I mean, nobody expects him to win, but still being in that position, they have a lot of faith in the guy.
They certainly do, yeah. Most definitely we'll talk a little bit about Raw and that big announcement, but we'll go ahead and talk about, since you mentioned it, it's going to be Reigns versus Ambrose versus Lesnar at Fastlane, which is coming up February, 21st, I think it is, in Cleveland. I think it's the 21st, I think.
Yeah. And that match alone is just a complete cluster F of kayfabe, whatever you want to call it. Because, and again, we'll talk about it. But, you know, based on the storyline that they set forth, it makes no sense whatsoever. So I don't really get where they're going with it, but I don't know. Maybe we'll see some kind of payoff.
Maybe, hopefully. All right, well, moving on. Let's see if I remember the next matchup that I believe was on the pay-per-view for the Royal Rumble was the tag team title match with A New Day taking on the Usos, if I remember correctly, which, again...
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, the New Day, a phenomenal heel faction. They are clearly the best heels in the company. They are incredibly over with the fans and highly entertaining, and that match was really good too.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that match. And not to take away anything from those teams, but I mean, they've wrestled so many times on free TV. I would think at this point it's hard to keep it interesting. But somehow they did. I mean, they had a limited amount of time. It was a very short match.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if I recall, 2 days for me is like an eternity anymore. So I think they may have only had 10 minutes at the most, but they made the most of it.
Yeah, and again, it was good with the New Day picking up the win, and they continue to, you know, obviously, I think that they're going to continue to push the Usos versus A New Day, especially from what we saw on Monday night, which we could talk about in a little bit. I think that that's obviously going to be something that we'll be seeing at Mania, probably, is some type of match between those two for the belts, obviously.
And that would be fine. I mean, I don't know how long they can ride the New Day, because pretty much they're carrying the tag team division at this point. Granted, the Usos are certainly... second best to them, but after that you have a huge drop off.
Oh, you know, you do. Yeah, I would be hard pressed to say what a third contender would be. Maybe the Wyatts, but yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But we'll see. As long as they're hot, I would say keep the belts on them and keep them rolling, man.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, then that leads us to our Divas match, if I recall correctly, which would be Becky Lynch taking on Charlotte, which, actually, this was an actually really good match, and I felt that, as opposed to some of the matches we've seen between Becky Lynch and Charlotte and over the last couple of months on SmackDown or Raw or whatnot, I thought this was a really good match, and I was a little bit hesitant to really get behind this match, but man, those girls, those ladies, those women, those divas, whatever you want to call them, they certainly pulled out all the stops and had a phenomenal match.
I agree, and I think, you know, I think the ending could certainly be debated, and not necessarily the ending itself, as in the pinfall, but the extracurricular activity afterwards. But, you know, for my money, I almost felt bad for Becky Lynch because she did put on a great match. And then all of a sudden she was just kind of tossed in the trash after that. And it's like she was just a pawn to get to the next storyline, which I know happens all the time. But they put so much behind this feud of Becky Lynch and Charlotte with all the video packages. I saw the same damn video package two or three times that night.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, the whole Flower Clan and that whole thing, you know. And all of a sudden, the match is over. Here comes Sasha Banks, dumps Becky Lynch, and just like that, you know, she's thrown out with the garbage.
Right, right. And obviously, I think they're pushing for Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, which I don't know. For me, that's an odd pairing. Not that I don't want to see the match, because I think that they'll have phenomenal matches. But who's the face in that feud? You know, is Sasha Banks going to be believable as the face, I guess, is my only question. Can that girl pull that off? Because she is such a energetic and such an enthusiastic heel.
I agree. I don't think she will stay a heel for very long.
Oh.
And quite honestly, that's the problem we've had with the Divas division for the last, you know, half a year, whenever they started the... kind of the break off of the Divas Revolution. They don't have any defined heels or faces. I mean, Becky Lynch is probably the only baby face they have, less Natalya. And then you see Natalya tagging with Paige, and Paige was kind of a tweener there for how long as well?
Yeah,
so you
right.
You don't really know who, you don't know who to get behind. You don't know who to cheer. You don't know who to boo. I mean, half the time the fans cheer Charlotte just because her old man's there and, you know, he's just crazy as all get out these days. So it's hard to get behind. And I think that's what they lack in a lot of storylines is you have to have somebody to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, you know, like the fans, they're just to put all their energy into, and they don't have any of those in the Divas division. Hopefully Sasha Banks is one of them, but I think the right move would be to push her as a babyface right now anyway.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to do that, but I agree with you. I think that besides Becky Lynch, there is no clear-cut babyfaces because the you know, it seems like every other week the Bellas are babyfaces, you know, and right. You know, especially now that you know, the Total Divas show is back on, they're going to kind of try to push that storyline. And yeah, I think that I agree with you that there definitely needs to be some clear-cut choices made, if you will. You know, Bayley would be a great one to bring up because, you know, she is a clear-cut babyface that I think that would obviously be a fresh face, if you will, in the Divas division up on the main roster. But, I mean, that remains to be seen what they do with her. All right, so with that, let's move on to probably...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I had heard rumors that Sasha Banks may have been injured, so I thought maybe they were going to throw Bayley out there after the match when you kind of knew somebody was coming out, but obviously those rumors were not correct.
Yeah, well, there's lots of rumors that have been circulating around with the Royal Rumble, but I digress. Probably I would say the worst match of the night, and it actually was subpar. It wasn't awful. Was the U.S. title match, Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio, which, as I texted you, I didn't even know Kalisto had won the U.S. strap and then lost it to ADR on SmackDown. I didn't even know that. Did you know that?
I did.
Okay.
Just because I had happened to watch Raw last week, since it was in Columbus, I watched it for, you know, a half an hour to an hour, and that's one of the matches that I caught. I don't really get it. I love the fact, and granted, we're all Americans these days, but I love the fact that they have, you know, two guys from Mexico feuding over the United States Championship. That's kind of funny to me. But I don't see what they're doing with it. I mean, I'm not big on the whole merry-go-round of title reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I think it totally discredits the belt, and especially when you'd have it three times in one week.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So Kalisto picks up the victory and wins the belt. I agree with you. I don't know where they're going. Obviously, they want to do something with Kalisto because Sin Cara is out, and obviously Kalisto did some crazy-ass stuff at TLC, and so I guess they think that they could put some stock behind him. But, you know, I've never been a big fan of the Lucha Dragons only because I think their work rate is incredibly sloppy. I'm just going to say it. I think that they... Aren't as crisp as they could be or should be.
Well, I think the problem is that, and I don't claim to be a worker wrestler, just going by observation, but that the majority of their offense relies so heavily on their opponent. And I don't know, you just, I understand that it takes two to tango, but, you know, a lot of these guys, it's more, their moves are a lift, or you're just expecting your opponent to be in a certain position. This is a lot of what Kalisto does requires a lot of his opponent to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And sometimes, you know, Kalisto probably is thinking one thing, the other guy's thinking another. And yes, it can end up looking really sloppy. And of course, he goes 100 miles an hour.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Right. But, nonetheless, he is now the United States champion, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. Hopefully, they don't give it back to Del Rio, but I mean, if I was a betting man, I assume that within maybe this week's SmackDown, Kalisto drops it to him again.
Yeah, and you kind of, I don't understand what they're doing with Alberto Del Rio. Obviously, they made him a good offer to come back because he's pretty much in mid-card hell where he was when he left.
Right!
they don't have a character for him. And I never understood why they dropped the whole, you know, Mexican aristocrat gimmick, because that was really the only thing that separated him from, well, let's just say Kalisto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, and then also, too, I'm not a big fan of the League of Nations, whom, no. By the way, where was King Barrett? Like, he's a member, they mention him, but he wasn't involved in anything at the Royal Rumble, which, again, is kind of my gripe that he could have been easily plugged in for Del Rio in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and he, and again, we don't know what happens backstage, but that guy's gotten a huge raw deal. I mean, he had a character that was super over that they completely squashed, and then he got hurt, and they had to restart all over again, and they give him that horrendous King Barrett gimmick that, I mean, he could have been there, John, and we wouldn't have seen him just because he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well, that's true. Very true. All right, so the Royal Rumble itself, you know, we kind of mentioned the fact that AJ Styles was the big surprise, which was cool. And, you know, minus all my griping about not having a more diverse cast in the Royal Rumble, I thought overall the Royal Rumble was good. I thought that they did some very smart things. I will mention, I think that the smart thing they did was to get Roman Reigns out of that match for, what, 15, 20 minutes or whatnot, because let's just be honest, I don't think Roman Reigns is the type of worker you can stick in the ring for an hour and expect him to go.
Yeah, and I completely see your point, and I don't disagree with it at all. I hate that move because you know he's coming back.
No, right.
So, I mean, they can set the guy on fire, for God's sake, and you know he's going to come back before the end of the Royal Rumble. So that's why I was a little like, oh, come on. I mean, who believes it anymore, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But I think it was a smart way to protect Roman Reigns, because obviously I think if he stood in there, there was no way he was going to last. I was most impressed with, and I thought it was incredibly smart, and obviously they're going to be probably pushing this for WrestleMania. I thought it was incredibly smart booking in terms of having the Wyatts eliminate Brock Lesnar.
Yes, I agree. I thought it was a good idea. You know, the fact that it's going to take four or five guys to take on one, I thought it was good. But then again, that leads to what's happening at Fastlane with Brock Lesnar in that main event. I mean, that's just, I assume, an open invitation to have the Wyatts interfere somehow. And again, I get so tired of outside interference on these, what used to be called pay-per-views. I mean, they're supposed to be special and separating from their weekly television shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could go on, you know, well, on a rant,
you know what?
For that.
Actually, let's just go down a different avenue real quick. I read an interesting article today about ways to improve the Royal Rumble. It was through the Wrestling Observer website. And they pitched some ideas. There were five of them. But the ones I thought were really good was, one, outlawing posses and managers and valets at ringside, which I think should be a rule that they should enforce. I think that that would make it, you know, much, much more entertaining. And, you know, obviously, you know, it would get rid of some of that stuff, too, you know, of having a bunch of people at ringside that don't need to be there.
Yeah, and I think, and I could be completely wrong, I want to say, like, you know, back in the mid-90s or whatever, that was a rule. You know, like guys like Jimmy Hart would walk his tag team down to the ring and then have to go back to the locker room. And I could be completely wrong.
Well,
but Bill, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, and there's another rule that I cannot stand is when, let's just say Adam and John are in the Royal Rumble and somebody eliminates Adam and he gets mad, comes back in and then throws John over the ropes and John's eliminated too. How does that work?
That was another suggestion on the Wrestling Observer, is that there should be no more no DQ. So that exactly what they said. You can't be eliminated and get right back in there and eliminate another guy.
It's like the popcorn vendor can get in the ring and like throw somebody out and then they're eliminated.
Right.
How does that work?
Exactly. And then the other one that I thought was really interesting that they threw out there, a shot clock, so to speak. Like, as soon as you hear, and your music goes off, you have, like, 15 seconds to get in the ring. So, to eliminate this idea of what The Miz did and what, you know, AJ Styles did by taking their sweet old time to get down to the ring, that, hey, get there. Get out there. You know, you have 15 seconds. If you're not in, you're eliminated.
And yeah, I mean, again, my memory's cloudy, but I want to say they used to have a rule where it was like you had to get into the ring before the next combatant or competitor came to the ring. Because and one sticks out in my head, probably one of the worst of all time, Royal Rumble 1994. They had like two open spots, and that's what they said, you know, like as soon as the next clock, you know, as soon as the clock hits zero, that person is automatically eliminated. Yeah, but I guess, you know, they just kind of enforce what they want to enforce.
Right, right. Now, a couple of the other two suggestions they had, I did not much care for. One was just getting eliminated from the ring, and any body part leaving the ring, you're automatically eliminated. I think that's kind of lame. I don't really see where that would be. I think that takes away from it. You know what I mean? I think it should be over the top rope, the feet hit the floor, because I think that's what builds drama. I mean, look how many times, oh, it's Dolph Ziggler, oh, no, he's not. He, you know what I mean? So I think that ruins it. What was the fifth one? I can't remember. They had a fifth one that I was like, I don't really dig that idea. But and those would be some cool ways. And if they did have those rules, and you know, I don't remember that, but I'm not saying that that wasn't a rule that they actually enforced. But maybe they ought to think about changing it up. I actually think this too. I would throw it out there. Why not throw a diva in there? I mean, especially on this one, trying to become the world champion. Like that, I think would have been something different. And you know, now granted, I don't know who that would be, you know, since, you know.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that they're real high on, you know, 6 to 8 guys kicking the crap out of a woman.
Right.
But I think it would be really hard to book that.
Well, I think it'd have to be some type of comedy spot, like they did with R-Truth, which I thought was really funny. I thought that was hilarious that he didn't know what pay-per-view it was or what the rules were, and I thought that was good. And to be honest, with his character, I think you got to do stupid stuff like that to get him over.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. But nonetheless, the end of the Royal Rumble, not exactly what anybody wanted. Triple H coming out, winning for the 14th time the WWE title. And I don't know, I think they could have come up with something better than this.
Well, like I said, it was very predictable. If you want to talk about the, you know, the IWC, certainly it was rumored since he was taken out by Roman Reigns that either he would be in late, he would be in number 30, or somehow Roman Reigns would win and Vince McMahon would say, wait a minute, there's a special entry, number 31, Triple H, you know, and then he would just win by throwing him over the top. But I don't think it surprised anybody that he was number 30.
No, no. So I guess now, if we can, let's theorize, let's predict a little bit from what we saw here at the Royal Rumble. And actually, let's talk about Raw. I don't know if you caught Raw or not.
I saw a little bit of it.
Okay. Same here.
What I really wanted to see was AJ Styles' debut. So I did get to see that entire match with Chris Jericho. But other than that, I did kind of peruse the results, but didn't see much more than that.
I just watched a little bit myself. I will say that I thought that Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler had a pretty good match to open up the show after the 20-minute promo. I thought they had a pretty good match. I thought AJ Styles and Jericho was phenomenal. Pun intended.
You see, it's funny. I was a little sour on it only because, I don't know, maybe my expectations were just through the roof because when I saw, you know, Styles and Jericho, I'm like, wow, that's like a pay-per-view quality match that we're going to get to see on Raw. And I don't know, I just thought there wasn't a whole lot of psychology to it, I guess in the sense that I thought they would try to highlight AJ Styles' strengths, like make them the center point of the match, I guess.
And have
Jericho, I mean, not that Jericho would be a squash, but I mean, the fact that he won with just a roll-up is kind of lame to me. It's like the guy's debut on Raw, he's, you know, the, quote, most sought-after free agent in professional wrestling. You know, it's taken him, I don't know, what, 15, 20 years to get there, and he wins with a roll-up. I don't know.
Just well, go ahead.
Anticlimactic. I think overall it was probably one of the better matches you'll see on Raw. Don't get me wrong. But just could have done more with the ending, personally.
Can I just throw out that I felt that, and I will be honest, I'm somewhat ignorant of popular music, but Flo Rida is a terrible rapper. Like,
yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's his best. I was like, seriously, I know this.
I did see that too.
Oh my god, dude! To be honest with you, I was like, okay, Flo Rida is worse than Bo Dallas, and that's not how this is supposed to go. This is, I mean, oh, it was awful. It was like he was rapping like a third grader, and I'm like, you've won or Grammys? What the hell?
Yeah, I know, and. What I couldn't figure out is why the crowd wasn't behind Bo Dallas more. I mean, I thought it was phenomenal what he did.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
It was. It was. I don't really get the social outcast group.
Nobody does.
I think that I feel bad for those guys because I think they're talented, especially, you know, I think the best two, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. But, I mean, I don't know how they're stuck in that hell of not really having a gimmick that really works for them.
Yeah, it's the three-man band all over again.
It is, it is. So their match against the Dudleys I thought was a throwaway. Of course, the last thing that I got to see was, of course, The Rock's return, which I think was right around, if I remember correctly, like quarter of 10 or something, I think.
Yes, but, I think that's correct, yes.
Yeah, The Rock's return, which is always hilarious. And the mere fact that they paired him up with the New Day just made it really, really funny and very entertaining. And I thought that was excellent.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't see it, but I read about it. And one of my favorite lines was when he was talking about Byron Saxton and Xavier Woods was like, that's Byron Saxton. He's the best commentator on Raw. Watch the product.
Yeah, that was hilarious, too. I thought that was really good. And then we, of course, close out the show with the big announcement that it's going to be Reigns versus Ambrose versus Lesnar, which I think we've talked quite a bit about. But what's some of the predictions you think? What's some of the theories you think is going to be some of the matches we might see at WrestleMania?
Okay, well, let's back up a second.
Oh,
let's
sure.
Talk,
okay.
Let's talk about that main event. So, one of the and in your aforementioned 20-minute promo, they talked about how tonight on Raw was going to be a showcase to see who they would put within this, you know, three-man, or not even say it was a triple threat at the time, I don't think. They just said in the number one contenders match.
Right.
Okay. First of all, Brock Lesnar wasn't even there.
Right.
But he's in the match. Second of all, for the last, I keep saying for the last 6 months or whatever, but for the last however many months, your sole purpose of existing, Authority, was to keep Roman Reigns away from the world title. So why pick him? Okay, there's your other theory. You know, so there's two right there that completely squashed any storyline that they built up. But I guess they assume that everybody's that stupid.
I guess. I don't know, dude. I have no idea. I have no clue on that one.
You know what I mean?
It's like, no, yeah. The
we're going to do all this against you, Roman Reigns, but you're going to get a chance in the next match. Come on.
Right, right, right. And now you're going to go to the next pay-per-view, which I saw the best tweet online. I think it came from WWE Creative-ish Humor that said, if Eva Marie's ass in gold spandex doesn't sell the pay-per-view itself,
there you go.
That was hilarious. I just laughed hysterically at that. Yeah, I think that totally is illogical, and you're right. But I mean, obviously, I think nowadays we're all smart enough to know who they're kind of going to push. I mean,
right.
I personally think that yes, and we're going to see Triple H versus Reigns at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
As much as maybe people will groan at that. I think obviously we're seeing the Wyatt family going to be involved with something with Brock Lesnar. Which again, I think logically again, if you're looking at the roster, who is probably one of the few people that could beat Lesnar? And I think it's believable that Bray Wyatt or any of those members of that family could beat Brock Lesnar. It's because of the way that they have booked them and the way that they have built them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree that I could say that a Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar alone would be believable to me at this point, but I think the whole faction against him makes pretty good sense.
Yeah. I think, obviously, one of the other things, that kind of maybe a minor match at WrestleMania that we didn't really talk about, we saw the return of Sami Zayn in the Royal Rumble, and instantly he went after Kevin Owens. So you think they go with that route for WrestleMania?
Yeah. They also kind of teased Owens and AJ Styles, if you notice that, because
yeah.
Owens was the one that eliminated Styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could be a potential one. But, yeah, it was nice to see Sami Zayn back. And I hope he gets the chance to stay up on that main roster.
Yeah, I do, too. I think that the guy deserves it, and I think that that would be a fresh face on the roster. And I think the fans are still behind him, you know, from the reaction he got there in Orlando, Florida, you know, for the Royal Rumble. You know, we talked a little bit about the other two matches. You know, obviously, I think Usos and New Day at Mania, Charlotte and Banks at Mania as well. I think that they're going to obviously push those matches. And then I guess it'll just be kind of interesting to see where others fall into it. Because, you know, is The Undertaker going to come back for WrestleMania? At this point, you would think he would have shown up by now. I mean, is he going to sit this one out?
I don't think that he will. I don't recall when he showed his face last year. Well, he was in Survivor Series last year, wasn't he?
I think he was, yeah.
Was that this past year? This past year.
Yeah, this past year. Yeah, well, I thought that's okay, what he meant. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So I thought maybe he might show up. I would think sometime this month, within the next 2 weeks, I bet, or at Fastlane. Against who? I don't know. But I would think this is his last go-around with WrestleMania.
It's got to be, man. Hopefully it's not Undertaker versus Kane, because that would be
awful. Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
Yeah, maybe the only thing worse would be Rusev.
Yeah, I never thought of him. That's a good one.
So, all right. So overall, you agree with me that the Royal Rumble was a pretty good pay-per-view.
Yes, very much so.
All right. Well, hopefully they keep the momentum going, because as I think and as I said earlier, this is the kickoff to the road to WrestleMania, and I feel that you really got to build a lot of momentum towards that to that card, to the main Super Bowl of pro wrestling, if you will. But you know what? One thing we didn't talk about here, we talked about it over the weekend. There's a lot of rumors as to who else is going to go into the Hall of Fame. Sting is going in. They mentioned that. But there's been some other rumors. And obviously, one of them is a very popular rumor, the Fabulous Freebirds. Since they're in Dallas, Texas, it would make sense. And I think that that's probably a given. I think that's happening. Most definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's deserved.
Oh, most definitely. Then the next one that has been rumored is Jacqueline, of course, from the Divas division. Your thoughts on her going in?
I'm fine with it, I guess.
Seems
like they have to put a diva in every year, and they're just going to go down the list.
I guess. Hopefully soon Ivory will go in.
Yeah, and I think Jacqueline and Ivory are almost on the same level playing field in terms of wrestling. So
sure.
I have no problem with that.
Of course, the celebrity one that's rumored is Regis Philbin.
So. Again, I think they just go down a list and make calls.
Mary Hart, do you want to go in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's like the NFL Pro Bowl. They just keep calling until they finally have a full roster.
Right, exactly. All right, but the one that's the most controversial is JBL. There's rumors that JBL goes in. I will just tell you, I was not a fan when they did it many years ago and they put Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler in when they were still commentating Raw. It's like, I think that's ridiculous. I think to go in the Hall of Fame, you got to be not doing anything with the product. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
I mean, Peyton Manning's not in the Football Hall of Fame, and he's playing in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think I think that's kind of lame.
Right, that in most pro sports, they become eligible after so many years after retirement.
Right.
And since there's no official retirement in pro wrestling, that would make it very difficult.
Well, then.
But, yeah, whether or not he's active, it doesn't really have much bearing to me. I just don't think he's deserving of it personally. But I mean, based on some of the other guys they've put in, I get it. I don't know. I've never been a fan of his. I thought his gimmick was good. With his final gimmick, the JBL gimmick, I thought was really good. I don't care for him as a wrestler. I think he's boring. I never found him entertaining in the ring, and I felt that his opponents were the ones that always carried him.
Yeah, true. Very true. I've never been a big fan of him, whether he was with the APA or actually the JBL gimmick was okay, but to be honest with you, I was kind of over it within a few months. Like, I'm like, besides...
Okay, sure.
Yeah, besides the theme song, I was like, eh, I don't care, you know, so... Well, we'll see. We'll have to see if those rumors are true and see over the next few weeks. I mean, they're going to start rolling them out now. You know what I mean? Because they got to. We're, what, 68 days away from Mania, I guess? 67?
I mean, if we're being specific, sure.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, let's talk real quick. Just a couple of quick thoughts about our trip out to see New Ohio Wrestling, Battle for the Band, NOW2. We went out on Saturday and checked out the show. This is the second time you've seen NOW. I unfortunately could not make the first one. So, what were your thoughts on the show?
I thought they did very well. That's one thing that I said about them the first time around. I mean, they stack their card. They have a lot of great indie talent on that card. There really wasn't a bad match in that bunch. As a fan of wrestling, certainly as a fan of the specific guys that, you know, you and I both know and worked with, just as a fan, I thought it was great. I thought they all did well.
I'll tell you, I think that, the show itself was very, very well done. It's always sometimes difficult to go into a brand new building. And I mean, let's be honest. For New Ohio Wrestling, every building is going to be a brand new building. You know what I mean? And to go into a brand new building and to get fans into the matches and to keep that enthusiasm going, I think that hats off to Jock Sampson and Brian Castle being the first match out there. They got the crowd into it. And that to me... that to me I think is important. I think your first match has to get the crowd captivated and enthusiastic. And those two guys did a great job of it. And I think the crowd was into it from there on. I think that if that match had not been successful, then the rest of the show probably would have struggled.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. At first I wasn't sure where they were going with it, but I've never seen Brian Castle wrestle, so that was a first for me, but the two of them did a phenomenal job. I was very, very surprised that the crowd reacted as well as they did. I mean, I'm surprised in the sense that most of the indie shows that I've worked, you don't see that much reaction on the first match alone. My hat's off to them. They did a great job.
Yeah, and they carried it all the way through to the main event, which was, of course, Marion Fontaine against Robbie Superstar, which was a very entertaining, albeit a somewhat different style than many of the other matches on the card, but still, again, kept that audience engaged and enthusiastic. So overall, a very well done show, New Ohio Wrestling. All right, let's talk a little bit about a show.
I was going to say the only change I would have made was putting Matt Taylor and Juice Jennings in that main event spot. But I understand why they did what they did because they wanted to get some of the folks in the band or the band directors involved. So it made perfect sense why they did it. But I would certainly say the match of the night was Matt Taylor and Juice Jennings.
All right. Well, let's shift gears real quick. Let's talk about a show that we're going to be part of because Ohio Championship Wrestling returns to action February 20th. That's in Coshocton, Ohio at the Hopewell School. And, you know, so far there's only been three matches announced. We have the OCW heavyweight title on the line, Dark Star Matt Taylor versus Robbie Superstar. I guess you could call that somewhat of a rematch, if you will, from this past summer. Your thoughts on that match?
Okay. I'm very much looking forward to that. I think both of those guys are wonderful at their craft. Both have very different styles, but the same styles, if that makes any sense. You know, obviously, Robbie Starr is a little bit more flashy. Dark Starr is more kind of a hard-hitting, jaw-breaking kind of guy. But I think together they will tell a very good story.
And then we have the OCW Ohio Heritage Championship on the line as Jimmy Shane, the man that has no shame, is going to go up against Sherman Tank. And let's be honest, Tank hasn't been around in a while. He's been rehabbing an injury. So I'm curious to see how Tank will do in this match. Is there going to be any ring rust? Is maybe his conditioning not up to par? Is the strength in the shoulder where it should be. I think that this is probably going to be a very interesting match, and to see if Jimmy Shane can take advantage of maybe weakness.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. On paper, it's very much a mismatch in terms of size. Jimmy Shane is still relatively green in terms of the Ohio Heritage Championship, so hopefully he doesn't take that for granted. You know, the old cliche that Sherman Tank has to beat Jimmy Shane, not the other way around, will certainly play into his advantage, so we'll see how he can handle that.
And, of course, the Redneck Wrecking Crew are going to defend the OCW Tag Team titles against some mystery opponents. And to be honest with you, I have no idea who it might be. I don't know if it's a team within OCW, if it's a team from somewhere else. I question why Jock and Jeff would do that because, you know, as you mentioned in your previous statement, you kind of got to know your opponent so that you can figure out whether, you know, how you're going to beat them rather than them beating you.
Right, and like you said, you don't know if they are within the organization or if, I mean, when you say mystery opponent in terms of indie wrestling, geez, that could be anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Well, certainly it's going to be a great show for folks that are interested. All you got to do is go to ocwrestling.net to get all the information. Once again, that's February 20th. Out in Coshocton at the Hopewell School, I believe 7:30 bell time, so come on out if you want to see some great wrestling, that is. So, Adam, with that being said, maybe we should start wrapping this thing up. Is there anything you'd like to close with or anything along those lines? Any other final thoughts, social media accounts, anything you want to plug?
I'm sure social media, you can always hit me up at Twitter. It's ARB2680. That's my handle. Always checking it out, and I'm on there. Definitely come out and check out the Ohio Championship Wrestling Show on February 20th. As John said, we'll both be there. So we'd love to see a very big crowd out there. It's been a while since we've been out in Coshocton, so looking forward to that. And just appreciate you having me on again, John.
Hey, no problem, man. And you know what? Again, I apologize to the listeners. We had a few little bit of internet problems there with the Skype at the beginning, but it seemed like it kind of cleared up, man, so that's good. Technology works.
Yeah, agreed.
Yes. All right, well, dude, thanks
exactly.
for coming on. Thanks for coming on, and I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up this episode. So stick around. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Michaels and myself talking about the Royal Rumble, giving you our opinions and our thoughts about the pay-per-view from just this past weekend. And as I mentioned when I was talking with Adam, I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. And kudos to the WWE for kicking off the road to WrestleMania with a very good pay-per-view. Keeping people interested and enthusiastic about WrestleMania is going to be probably their biggest concern. Now, I don't know how well Fastlane will be, which is the next pay-per-view, the one in between the Rumble and Mania. I mean, hopefully it'll be very good, and it'll keep that momentum going as we head on into WrestleMania. And, you know, also, yeah, we threw in our thoughts and our opinions on NOW2, the Battle for the Band. And, you know, I even mentioned the fact that coming up here February 20th, Ohio Championship Wrestling is back in action. That's right. We're going to be at the Hopewell School in Coshocton, Ohio on Saturday, February 20th. The OCW Heavyweight Championship will be on the line. Darkstar Matt Taylor versus Robbie Superstar. Sherman Tank returns after battling a few injuries. He's coming back to take on No Shame Jimmy Shane for the Ohio Heritage Championship. The Redneck Wrecking Crew will put their tag team titles on the line against some mystery opponents. And all of the great OCW superstars will be there on February 20th. And also, don't forget to circle your calendars. April 16th, the big 13th anniversary show for OCW is happening at the Oatwell School in Coshocton. More details to come on that. So, now that I've kind of thrown all that stuff out there, let's go ahead and get into... That's right, can you hear the music chiming up? There you go. It's time for Orlando's Fave! Okay, my fave for this edition of the PVD cast is a television show. And to be honest with you, I really
was not super interested or enthusiastic about this television show. During the holiday season, especially on Christmas Day, my family and I were watching the nonstop marathon of A Christmas Story on TBS, and every single commercial break, I heard about the new show coming to TBS, Angie Tribeca, and how on January 17th they were going to do a 25-hour marathon. And man, I just thought the way they're cramming this show down our throat and the way that they're hyping up this marathon for the season that hasn't even come out yet, I was a little bit hesitant. I was a little bit afraid of the show. But on the 17th of January, I just happened to get up and I just happened to turn on the TV and started flipping through the channels and I landed on it. And let me tell you what a pleasant surprise it is. So my fave for this episode is Angie Tribeca. It's a cop show. It's a comedy that is very much in the vein of The Naked Gun. And I love The Naked Gun movies. I enjoyed Police Squad. Now, I wasn't around when it was on TV, but I saw it on repeats when they aired them. You know, CBS aired them some time ago, and then I've also seen them on DVD. So I'm a huge fan of that kind of pun-oriented, slapsticky, kind of ridiculous comedy, and Angie Tribeca's got it. So if you're a fan of The Naked Gun and their sequels, you definitely need to check out Angie Tribeca. It's awesome. And I know Hulu has the first season, so you know you don't have to wait on TBS to replay it. You just go on over to Hulu, check them out. I think there's 10 episodes or half hour each. Really funny stuff, and even some very weird co-stars and cameos. It's phenomenal. I highly recommend it. It stars Rashida Jones, Jerry Burns, a whole cast of characters that do a very good job. So check it out. Check it out. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for me to tell you all where you can get in touch with me if you disagree with me or if you didn't like what I had to say about the Royal Rumble or anything else on this podcast. There's a couple different ways you can get in touch with me. First, you can tweet at me at PVDMVP. That's also, by the way, the same username for my Instagram account, which I do not do a very good job of updating that. I need to get on that. Anywho, let's say, though, you don't want to just limit yourself to 140 characters. You want to let me know what you're thinking. Well, then you could shoot me an email. And simply you can do that by sending that email to johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Hey, I want to throw it out there real quick before I leave, though. You know, I'm a big advocate for this gentleman, Brian Lau, and his science fiction fantasy graphic novel, Staunch Ambition. I just want to let you know that he let me in on a little secret that there's going to be some cool t-shirts coming out. So if you haven't already picked up the preview edition, or you haven't even checked out the website, you need to do so. Go over to staunchambition.com, check out the store, you can get the preview issue. I think the t-shirts are going to be up there real soon, and they're pretty slick looking. I got to give Brian Lau some credit, man. He did a heck of a job at designing those bad boys. So pick up a sweet shirt, man. Support something good, support something independent, support something that, quite frankly, is cool. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to this edition, number 87 of the PVD cast. And for that, I will chat at each and every one of you later.